Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone out this evening. We've got a good number for a Sunday evening worship. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And for a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider some causes of spiritual blindness. And this morning, as I was talking about different categories of sermons that I want us to look at, this would fall under teaching the lost. And when we talk to people, there's going to be some reason that they don't want to change, and there's a variety of reasons, but if we can understand what the reason is, that gives us a little bit of a insight as how to approach them. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So Paul is telling us that there are going to be some people whose minds Satan has blinded, and they are not going to believe the precious gospel. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10 and look at the account in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And here we are going to see someone that had physical blindness. Mark 10, 46. "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." When you think about somebody being born physically blind, there are so many things that they miss out in life. The beauty of nature, the beauty of their loved ones, and also just being physically blind is going to cause certain dangers and pitfalls as they go through their daily routine. The same is true with someone that is spiritually blind. And with this illustration up here, this man, one foot on a cliff and he's ready to step off, he can't see. We can understand that if someone is physically blind. But this is a condition that so many people in the world are in. They're headed for a fall because Satan has blinded them. Physical blindness is bad. Spiritual blindness is worse. It's worse. And Satan, the god of this world, blinds the minds of unbelievers. How does he do that? Different ways. False teachers, men's lust, prejudices, men's love for darkness, false doctrine. Satan used all of these ways to blind men. So I want us to study five different ways that we'll look at. There's more than five, but five different ways that Satan blinds people today so that they do not want to see or realize the truth. The first one I want us to consider is that some are blind to the gospel by prejudice. What is prejudice? Prejudice is a judgment formed before the facts are known. It's an opinion held in disregard of the facts. It's an unreasonable bias. People have prejudices toward different things. Some people have a prejudice toward a certain person, and it's a judgment based before you know the facts. And with this spiritual disease, it'll keep one from seeing plain, simple statements in the Word of God because they're prejudiced. What does Mark 16:16 says? It says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The plain fact is, if we believe and we are baptized, we will be saved. But a lot of people are prejudiced and they don't want to believe that. Or consider James 2:24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Again, a lot of people think all you have to do is have faith. And Satan has blinded them. All you have to do is have faith and you'll be saved. Matthew 16:18. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That's a fact. The fact is there's one church, and Jesus built that church. He says, "my church." But people are prejudiced, and we have to help them get over that prejudice that they have so that they can see the truth. Prejudice keeps somebody from honestly and open-mindedly seeking the truth. John 7:17. "If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." There are many spiritually religious prejudiced people today. The denominations are full of them, and they are blind. They are blind. And this prejudice also makes people take scriptures out of context to hold up their doctrine. James 1:27. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." This is a true statement, but it's true individually. We are to help widows and orphans. This does not give us the authority to go out and take money from the church treasury and build an orphan's home or a widow's home. But Satan has blinded people, and we'll see some of these, all of these conditions, some of them weave together with other ones. But prejudice is a big problem. And it's not new. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus had to deal with it in his day, and we are still dealing with it in our day. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 14. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them.'" See, talking about their physical ears being hard of hearing and their eyes being closed, he's talking about them spiritually. The truth is right in front of them, and they are so prejudiced that they do not want to accept it. Prejudice keeps people today from seeing that baptism is essential. Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." But prejudice keeps people from seeing that. And this is repeated over and over in the New Testament. Acts 2:38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus. Why aren't a lot of people baptized today? They have prejudged, they've drawn a conclusion before they've gotten the facts. And the facts are that we have to be baptized. It's repeated over and over. Other things they're prejudiced about. The one church, Matthew 16:18, Ephesians 4:4. And we just got to get people past the blind spot of prejudice. And when Jesus, in Acts 2:47, when the saved were added to the church, we need to ask them, which church were they added to? Were they added to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Lutheran church, the Catholic church? Those weren't in existence then. They were added to my church, the Church of Christ, Christ's church. There's just one church, but prejudice keeps people from seeing that. A second reason that some people are blind and do not want to accept the truth is because of pride or the position that they hold. And again, this is nothing new. In John 12:42 and 43, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. See, the chief rulers would not confess Christ because they were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue. They had their position and they didn't want to give it up. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26 and beginning at verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. And when he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with him. So here we have King Agrippa. And he says, Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. What was holding King Agrippa back? His pride and his position. He didn't want to give it up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:26, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. When you think about the Lord's church and the men that he selected to be his apostles, what kind of men were they? They were plain, ordinary men, different walks of life. Some had more education than others, but in some regards, they were looked down on as being ignorant because they were not educated in the big schools of the time. And, you know, and just in talking myself with other people, and I will, when I tell them I am a minister, well, where did you get your degree? Where did you go? What did you do? Does that mean you're a pastor? No, it means I proclaim the gospel just like they did in the first century. And a lot of people, they do not want to accept that. They, because of their pride and position, and they only want to associate themselves with a group that has this level of education or this? Or how many degrees does their pastor have? Is this a doctor? Where did they go to school? It's pride and position. And when you talk to someone and you just show them, the people that changed the world, turned the world upside down, what were they? They were fishermen. They were farmers. They were shepherds. You can't read about them going to some big university. Paul was probably the most educated, but the people that turned the world upside down, or some say right side up, were plain ordinary people. But Satan has blinded people, saying if this person doesn't have a degree, if you didn't go to this school, you don't know what you're talking about. And the Church of Christ, they aren't even organized. And this, our group, we send them to this place and that place, and the Church of Christ, they'll look down on us. And Satan blinds them. And that is something with their pride and position that we have to get them to see that the way people were saved in the New Testament was by the simple preaching of the story of the cross. Simple men, it's easy to understand, and it's for all men. Many today are blinded by pride and position. Many want leave denominationalism. Many want leave institutionalism. Again, people are converted. They are converted to a church, to a preacher, or they're converted to Christ. And a lot of people that are converted to a church, they want to go to the big church in the community, the church that offers everything for everybody, the one that who's who goes to, and they aren't converted to Christ. And it's sad. They're like this person up here, ready to step off this cliff into destruction. A third cause of blindness is tradition. Again, the scribes and Pharisees had this problem. And back in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" The tradition of the elders. You hear people say, "We've always done it this way. This is tradition." You can take that on a variety of topics that come up. And sometimes tradition may only go back a few years, but in people's minds, this is the way it's always done. And friends, it doesn't matter what the practice is. No religious practice can be right unless it is authorized by the Word of God. God gives us a lot of leeway on how we do things. We're to assemble on the first day of the week. He doesn't tell us the exact time, how many times, where, other than in the assembly. It could be in a building like this. It could be in a home. It could be different places. He gives a lot of leeway, but we are authorized to assemble, and we need to look at what we are authorized and not what man has changed, and get in the habit of saying, we've always done it this way. Going on in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 3, and he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.' Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Tradition blinds so many people. They aren't following what God authorized, but the tradition that was established by some man. And what does Jesus call these people? He calls them hypocrites. Hypocrites. And people are blinded by this. They are blinded, they are prejudiced by hypocrites being in the church. And there are hypocrites in the church. And I've said before, a lot of times we want to say, well, there's room for one more, because they are hypocritical and making the argument that they wouldn't be in a group where there's hypocrites. They're just being hypocritical in that, because they are blinded and they do not want to change and accept the truth. Paul gave up the traditions of his fathers when he learned the truth. Galatians 1, 14 through 15. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Paul gave up the traditions of his fathers. And you think about the early church. What was the early church composed of? It was composed of Jews. And the Jewish religion was so different than the religion of Christ. They were used to observing the Sabbath. They had all kinds of rituals and things that they used, that they grew up with, their feast days. And think about this too. People go back to the Old Testament to justify instrumental music. So the people in the first church, in the church of the first century, many of them would have grown up with worshiping with music as part of that worship, because that was under the old law. Did they bring those instruments into the worship in the first century? No. They gave it up. They gave it up. Yet people today, if they are in a denomination that has a piano, an organ, a band, a lot of them have bands today. Well, I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. People in the first century, the Jews, gave up their past practices to become a Christian, to become a child of God. A fourth reason that some are blinded: they are blinded by loyalty to a party. And again, this ties in with denominationalism. They are not loyal to Christ, but they are loyal to a party. All of my family are Methodists. I grew up in the Baptist church. My family's Lutheran. That's, you know, I can't change. That's what my family is. And they are blinded by that loyalty. And Paul, again, looking at Paul as an example, he had a very illustrious heritage, but he gave it all up for the truth. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. So Paul is saying he had bragging rights. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul had a very strong pedigree of who he was. If anybody was going to brag about their past or what they were religiously, Paul could outdo them hands down. But what did he say about that past? He said, I gave it all up. I gave it all up. I counted it as rubbish that I may gain Christ. But people today are blinded by that. They are blinded by loyalty to some denomination, some party, some group. A fifth reason that some are blinded today, some are blinded by the admiration for a man. And Paul warned about thinking of men above that which is written, 1 Corinthians 4:6. It's a very small, short, concise verse, but it's very important. We are not to think of man above that which is written. So what's he saying? This is what's written. This is what we believe in. We don't think of man, what he says, above the Bible. We think of the Bible above what some man says. But people have it turned around today. People will, in conversations, sometimes they ask me, I'm sure they ask you, well, do you listen to that preacher so-and-so on TV? Or do you listen to this one or that one? And I'm like, I have no idea who that person is. But people have, they follow some big name preacher, or they sit at home and they think that worship is watching this big name denominational preacher on their computer, and they're going to go to heaven that way. And, oh, he's such a good man. He is so nice. You know, he's got that smile that goes up this big and his hair's real nice and he just says the sweetest things. They're blinded. They are spiritually blind, and they're getting ready to step off that cliff into eternal destruction. Satan blinds them. People listen to what they want to hear. Their ears are tickled. And it has spread into the brotherhood also. Most of us have seen it over the years. A man is very influential, and then he will start teaching a false doctrine, or he will be unfaithful in his marriage relationship. Something changes, something happens. And what do a group of people do? Sometimes they will overlook what he has done because they love the man so much. Oh, brother so-and-so, he's such a nice man. He's such a nice man. Yeah, he believes this teaching on that subject, but, you know, he's such a nice man. And the person that has done so much good in the past, then he is leading people over that cliff also. Somebody will say, he's not going to do any harm. But friends, he does harm by not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 9:11. And this will blind people spiritually. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. I don't stay up with Hollywood and music, but I know a couple generations ago when the church was growing in this country, and we know of people that Christians that got into the entertainment industry, and what happened? Did they become stronger, or did they go away from Christ? They went away. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that follow with them. And friends, Satan, as we started off reading, Satan wants to blind us. He wants to blind us, and he is going to do that. Jesus, he wants every fiber of us that we have. He wants us to love him, to submit to him, to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways, to cling to him, to serve him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. So Satan knows that too. So he's going to blind us any way that he can to separate us. And we need to understand that with ourselves, and we need to understand when we're talking to people that are not Christians, we need to understand that Satan has blinded them, and look at which way has he blinded them. Is it through prejudice? Sometimes you just mention the Church of Christ and you can see a prejudice in somebody by things that they've heard about the church. They're a sect. They're whatever you want to say. Everything has been said about the Church of Christ, and there's a prejudice. They might be blinded because of their pride and their position. Well, I've got a degree from this school. I'm not going to go to that little church down there. They don't know anything. And people are blinded because they put their faith in man's wisdom from some institution. They might be blinded by tradition. Some people, many different traditions. And again, just thinking of a time that we just passed with the holiday, a lot of people in denominations that are so caught up in celebrating Christmas as the birth of Christ, some of them, their life revolves around Christmas and all the musicals and the plays and the productions that go on. Satan has blinded people by that. Satan has blinded people by that. Loyalty to a party or an organization. We aren't converted to an organization. We've got to be converted to Christ. We've got to be converted to Christ and surrender our will to him. And man's word. A lot of people are blinded by man's word. And with these five areas too, it's easy to tell which way somebody has been blinded. When you start talking to them, you talk to them a couple times, and their speech is going to betray them as to which way they are blinded. Well, you're part of that church. You're part of that church. It's probably prejudice. Well, you don't have anybody there that goes there that's anybody. It's the position, or what's the educational background of your preacher, or tradition, or loyalty to a party. Again, you know, I was raised Baptist. My mom and dad were Baptists. I'm a Baptist. That's just the way it's going to be. They're blinded by tradition of that organization, and they're blinded by a man's word. You know, my preacher said that. When we hear that over and over, we know that some man is standing between them and Christ, and he's going to lead them over into destruction. And then when we find out what their cause of spiritual blindness is, then we can start to let God's word cure them of this blindness so that they can learn and obey the truth. Friends, Are any of these reasons keeping you from seeing the truth? You know, it can happen to us also. Satan is trying to blind all of us. I pray that we all can see the truth, and not just see it, but all obey the truth. Again, with the prejudice, people don't like to obey the facts. We aren't saved by faith alone. We have to be obedient to God's word. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to God's word, to obey that command and example to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, or make correction in your life for sins that you've committed, if we can assist anybody, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.